Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Thursday, June the 11th, 2015, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. Hello, Michael.
Thank you, sweetie. I'm here, just on the road. Gorgeous day here in Bristol, Tennessee. We appreciate everybody who's joining us and comes to play. And we are getting into the routine of getting back to Heartland and getting our summer season started. So our workshops on the road are over at this point. We may plug into something in St. Louis before we actually get into intensives. I'm not sure, but we're just kind of rolling along and all things moving forward. And the forward movement is into the process of forgiveness and looking at how to release attachments to the world of hostility, fear, and stuff. Is Dr. Tim with us today, Jeannie?
Yes, he is.
Are you with
on.
Us, Dr. Tim? Oh, good, good. Cool. Well, I'd like to share some input that I was given this morning that ties in with the topic that I just mentioned, and would love your feedback, Tim. This morning, as I was coming into that quiet place and listening, I was shown a whole scenario of how people get locked into carbon-based memory in early childhood, and it was kind of interesting. My mind was representing it as it was explaining it, like a leather belt on a, let's say, a sawmill. If you're familiar with a sawmill, there's a blade with a drive on it, and then there's a motor with a drive on it, and there's a belt that hooks the two up. You familiar with that sort of setup, Tim?
Yes.
Yeah. So the way it was represented this morning, and what it was saying to me is that we get locked in too early with either pain or stuff or intellectual activity with the frontal lobes of the brain to the process of carbon-based memory being hooked up to the primitive brain. And so the visual was one where it showed me carbon-based memory being hooked up to the primitive brain and, you know, running things, running the system, and, you know, the belt's moving well, but that there isn't a connection from the frontal lobes to that process in the child. And then it showed like a second belt, you know, if you had a second drive belt on it, where the primary belt's running one pulley, and then there's another pulley on the same shaft, and the second pulley runs a second device. And so the visual was one where if there's too much trauma, there's too much stuff, or there's too much intellectual activity, head activity, then what happens is that the frontal lobes where intentions are stored get hooked up to carbon-based memory and the perceptual mind prematurely. And that if we have that happen, then what occurs is that there's not time, or there's not the process of the higher mind or spirit or whatever you would want to call it, intuition, to be giving input to the intentional system, and therefore one tends to become locked into that whole process of being tied into what's in carbon-based memory and the attraction of stuff, the attraction of pain, and intellectual activity. And so it was just kind of an interesting representation, and then to realize that that's what forgiveness is breaking up. And when one does sufficient forgiveness work and collapses the perception, that is sort of breaking that link to the point where now that perceptual mind is available through the higher mind work.
Michael, there is too much wind noise on your end. We're not hearing what you're saying.
Okay. So at what point did you lose me?
Just the last couple sentences.
Oh, okay. So then the other piece was then that forgiveness, what it's doing is it's breaking that link that kind of locks intentions into carbon-based memory and perception, that keeps that cycle going. And then as we forgive, we weaken that link. And the other thing that occurred in the whole process was looking at the Prussian system, or thinking about the Prussian system of education, where they had a lot of trouble getting young men to go to war. But they found that if they get them into public schools and get a hold of their minds, that, you know, it's easy. They'll go kill people on command. And just how that whole thing ties together, and that forgiveness breaks that process down to the point where we're not locked in on carbon-based memory anymore. We're able to function truly as humans are designed to, and that is to come through the higher mind and have input from that higher mind. And as we do, really, truly function as humans. So it was a pretty cool input or piece of information to get, and just thought I'd throw it open to you to see if you had any thoughts on it.
Well, I'd love to see a picture of the belt system the way it came to you, if you'd sketch that out.
Yes, I'm planning to do that. We've been kind of on go this morning. Actually, we had to get up at 6 o'clock this morning to take the van over to get a trailer hitch put on it so we can haul some stuff from our old van back to Heartland. So, you know, Jeannie's, you know, shaking me. It's like, we got to go. It's like, well, wait a minute. I'm in the middle of a download here. Don't know. So I went back to it for a few minutes, but we had to go. So I haven't had a chance to do any of that sketching, but I will.
Well,
but it was just.
Well, it's resonating. It's resonating things we watched in What the Bleep down the rabbit hole, where they were showing graphic representations of nerves firing in a neural network. And of course,
Brian,
it's a very rough artist's view of the neural network, and they were representing it as though the end of one nerve sends out sparks that touch another nerve, and we know that's not the way it works. It's that it sends out chemicals. But the idea is that nerves that fire in tandem or at the same time build an association. And if they keep firing at the same time, it strengthens that association. That's, you know, that's a direct corollary to when you talk about when two files fire at the same time in your mind, they're forever linked.
Right.
And what they were talking about is that they've learned with neuroplasticity is that if we can get different patterns to fire at the same time, we interrupt the association and weaken the association with repetition, and after a while, the association falls away. And so, if what I'm hearing you say is that the download you were getting is that if there's too much going on in the youth in the young ages of a child's development that requires connection to the fight or flight, the senses for survival, the sense of, you know, trauma or intense emotional confusion, which might be considered trauma, then this other higher level intuitive sense doesn't get to build the associations or the links. And if a child is raised in a nurturing environment where they don't have to worry about the physical and they don't have to worry about constantly being challenged verbally or emotionally, then this other set of faculties gets to develop and other associations get to be made.
And the other one too was intellectual processes. You know, we live in a culture that my kid has to perform better than your kid, so I'm going to send them off to preschool at 2 and get them working on, you know, getting smart and getting information, and that may be totally counterproductive for human life, which is what led to opening the conversation in my mind about the Prussian school system. They couldn't get young men to go off to war and kill people until they discovered that if they got them into a public school system, then, you know, they had them early. And I know the church has said in the past that if we give me a child by the age of 6 and I'll have them for life. And the whole thing just clicked in place. It's like, I got it. And so I'm sure there'd be a lot of parents who would probably not be overly happy with, okay, so don't go pushing your kid into school. In fact, get them out of there and give them time to just play and be human, little human beings functioning as love without that other stuff. And you're going to have a human being for life rather than an automaton that runs off of carbon-based memory and its content.
Yeah, I think there's this undercurrent, and, you know, it's only an undercurrent because the big money is in automating everything and getting us to file into our little cubicles and stay there and be productive.
Right.
But there's an undercurrent of knowledge that we as human beings are extraordinarily creative and adaptive in general, and we function best when we explore, you know, for instance, if you look at the Montessori method, which is a few steps closer to allowing a child to find and then explore whatever interests them.
Yes, the child leads rather than filling their minds with information.
Yeah, and then the natural abilities and passions within the child have a chance to come to the front. And then the child gets a chance to experience successes by following their own creative impulse and their own natural strengths and their own skills. But if you take a look at it, and I'm sure, I know you've done this, I think I've heard you refer to it in one or more of your talks, but if you look at how the educational system was developed in this country, it was developed by people who realized they needed people to sit in the assembly lines and in the factories and do this repetitive work. And if you had people who were used to hunting and farming and, you know, being independent and coming up with their own solutions and thinking on the fly, and well, they weren't very good at sitting on a factory bench putting 3 bolts on the same piece of metal all day long.
Right.
So they decided, we need to educate these people in a way that will help us have workers to man the factories.
Right.
And that essentially was literally the template for what our education system is. And
education, the word would be indoctrination.
Yeah.
Where indoctrination has replaced education. Education, educare, means to draw out, and it just, you know, just got this beautiful picture of, oh, here's what we're drawing out. We're drawing the being through the frontal lobes and having the frontal lobes run the system rather than the frontal lobes being trapped in carbon-based memory. So, anyway, it was pretty sweet, pretty cool. Sweet energy with it. Also, the next piece that came up for me was, thinking about my own life, it's like, how did I ever get free of that to do this work? Because, the first night of my birth, my father was called, emergency, this kid isn't going to make it, and at least four times was almost dead, lived on ventilator and pills, oxygen tent, weeks at a time, all of that, and, many times I've lamented at what I put my parents through, what it must have been like, after becoming a parent and realizing, God, if I had a kid going through that, what would that be like? But just, with all of that, to have broken free of it, it speaks so powerfully of the forgiveness process and what it does, how it frees us. So anyway, the whole package was just pretty sweet and pretty cool. And that's great feedback, and it's nice that the timing was that you had just watched the video on What's Bleep that just ties it into, and then I think that piece of processing that I did was perhaps what opened the space to let loose on another level and let another layer in. So the ongoing process of forgiveness, what fun.
Well, it seems to me that this is right in line with the sweetness that you're talking about that's missing in so many of our lives, and the way we're raised has really been in my face during this past week. Several times this past week when I introduced somebody to a segment of the Abraham Hicks, Esther channeling Abraham Hicks, talking about relationship and talking about how, those vows we took where I promised to stay together until death do us part, no matter how crappy we treat each other. I didn't really mean it. What I should have said was, I promise to work to be as happy as I possibly can and to be responsible for my own happiness. And I promise to refuse to let you make me responsible for your happiness. And as I've played that for people, two different people I've played that in a session this week, have burst into tears. And another time this week, was just last night, I read The Commitment to a woman. And now here's a woman who was raised, and she had parents, and she had siblings, and she had grandparents, and then she got married to someone she thought she loved, and she got, two children or three children with that person, and that turned into an abusive relationship, and she's remarried now, and hopefully a much better situation. However, I read to her The Commitment, and she burst into tears. Your version of The Commitment. I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth and be true to you. I commit to always being sweetness in your life. I got that far. And I looked up, and her eyes were watering, and tears are coming down. And it's striking to me that a person can have been in a family and have had children. And I've seen her face light up in the past when I've asked her to tap into a loving memory for the purpose of doing a worksheet. And she had a little trouble, and I said, well, think about your kids when they were newborn, and her face lit up. So she's had some exposure to sweetness and gentleness, but it certainly hasn't been a prevalent day-to-day experience in her life. And the thought of reading this commitment to her, having someone read that to her, just brought her to tears. So I think, it just resonates for me that the more we can bring out the presence of love and the sweetness and the strength that comes from that complete vulnerability of opening my heart to embrace you in my love and to open my heart to be embraced in your love, all of that comes from the commitment, that is so valuable in my life and allows me to be who I am and do what I do, that no amount of determination and perseverance and rock hard and strong and I'm going to make this happen, no amount of that effort can accomplish what acceptance and allowance and being in the flow of the awareness of my true nature can accomplish through me. that's my offering for today.
Can you please unmute me?
You're on.
How do you?
Oh, thank you. So that also ties in very powerfully to Rachma. You know, it just ties right in that there's, you know, Yeshua 2,000 years ago saying, if you want to be human, here's the most important thing in the whole process. You got to have love active in you. And that gateway that allows human life in is where the direct experience of love comes from, not from another. And if everything's all hooked up to carbon-based memory, not much room for it. And you just look at the genius of it and the power of it. It's just amazing. Amazing. Very cool. Well, thank you for that feedback. And also, one other thought is, I think that sometimes when people hear something like commitment, a lot of grief flows for what could have been and wasn't. And I think that also opens up people when they hear that and see, oh my God, that's possible. I could have had that. And then, of course, if I'd only known how different it could be, brings, I think, forward the a deep experience of loss. And so we're here to restore and heal those feelings of loss and recognize that here we are as true human beings functioning out of love and that we're capable of that. What an awesome gift to give oneself, to recognize that you're capable of functioning as this awesome active presence of love, which you are designed to be. And so that's what we're here to support each and every person in, and of course to learn for ourselves at the same time. So, very cool, very cool. Well, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anything happening with the in the phone queue? Anybody with a hand up?
We actually have two hands up.
Oh, great.
The
first, say hello.
First one is, I believe, Missy. It's 517 area code, and she's got an awesome expression of a newborn there, too.
Ooh, tell us about it. Hey there, young lady.
Hello?
Are you with us, Missy?
Yeah, sure I am. Can
you
hear
me? Oh, cool. How do you be today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And I have had the pleasure of spending quite a bit of time with my newborn granddaughter, which has just been lovely. She's a
I understand that one.
Yeah, she's beautiful. My question for you all, Jeannie, Michael, Dr. Tim, or any of the listeners, is for possible recommendations for reading material for my nephew, who is in a correctional facility and is committed to making the most of his time there. He has acknowledged shortly after he was incarcerated that he realized that prison saved his life and that he wouldn't be here if things hadn't happened as they had. And he has another 6 years, probably. He's a young man. But he's been moved to a lower level, to basically for freedom, and has a group of men that he communicates with regularly that are all hungry for truth and tools and things that they can use to better their lives and prepare them for when they're out in the world. And so I know that your book isn't ready for the revisions haven't been completed yet. And, of course, when they are, we would love to send him several copies or send their library several copies of the book. But in the meantime, I'm kind of at a loss of what might be helpful for, you know, this group of men that are looking for a different way of looking at life. So if anything comes to mind, if anyone has any recommendations, I'm going to be placing an order to just get him some reading material.
Well, one of my questions would be, does he have access to DVD?
Nope.
No. That's too bad.
No. He has an MP3 player, but I don't know how to download information onto MP3. So I'm not sure how he would access that, or I don't know how to do that. But.
Well, we have Why Is This Happening to Me Again on MP3. So that's
okay. Would that be like through iTunes, or how would he find it? He can't use the computer.
We would send you a file, and if you want to send him books.
Yes.
I hate to admit this publicly and out loud and all that, but I'm looking on Amazon, and you can buy a used, very good Prime delivery for $4. Or you can buy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are at least 6 copies that are 1 cent plus $3.99 for shipping and handling.
For the Y books?
For the Y book, for used Y books, yes.
Oh, but would they be coming from Amazon directly? Or are they coming, because they have to come directly from the publisher, or they reject them.
Okay. Well, then, what you could do, and I don't know whether, you know, it looks like they're all different sellers.
Yeah, I've looked at that before as an option.
You have to pay shipping for each of them. What you could do if you wanted is you could have them shipped to me at Heartland, and I'll repackage them and send them.
Okay. Well, we
to him from the publisher.
You're the publisher. Okay. Well, I have a copy. We've been saving a copy for him. So now that you're back in, are you in Theodosia now?
Not
yet,
but
there?
We will be. I just picked up a trailer to be moving it. So
okay.
Heading in that direction. So we'll be there in a few days.
Okay. I will. I'll get it in the mail to you then, with the intention that,
cool.
with the address, and you can send it up to him.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. And any other
I'll
suggestions
do it. And
for
if you,
material?
If there were any other, if you wanted to send any others that for his friends that are there, you know, if you wanted to order them from Amazon,
mm-hmm.
I'll send them. The other thing would probably be the Enlightenment book, and I'll gladly donate one of those to him. The Enlightenment book would probably be really useful. And
is that the blue book, the translation book?
No. Enlightenment is what we've published so far from the Kaboris manuscript.
Oh. Okay, that would be awesome.
So if you send that to me, I'll send a copy of that to him, and probably the Healing Children, Loving Children would be appropriate as well, because it gets into the simpler worksheets and explaining more, and, you know, it would give him some good grounding material that I think would be useful. So
that would be fabulous. I believe we have a copy of the children's book as well. I'll send those to you then. As the publisher,
awesome.
You can send them to him. That'd be great.
I can do it. I'd be delighted to.
Perfect. The other thing, and
awesome.
I have arrived at my destination, but I have had this process, my own process surfacing. So I'm going to ask for feedback if you have some. But in the last few weeks, I would say, I have this brain cell firing that are giving me images of just the most bizarre things that aren't true or real for me that seem so distorted. And my initial response is to deny it or to suppress it or to say whatever, you don't belong here or whatever. But I have been changing my lifestyle and refining my diet. So plus there's the granddaughter that's full of love that I spend a lot of time with. So I imagine that my vitality is higher. And perhaps this is just distortion from the carbon-based memory coming to the surface. But there isn't even a theme to address in the forgiveness process. I'm not sure even what to do with it. They're like fleeting visuals of just bizarre, sometimes violent, just things that are like, what? I would never do that or even think that consciously. So do you have any suggestions perhaps how to address that or what?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I do.
I figured you would. Okay.
Well, the first thing would be, the first thing that came to mind as you started to speak about it was that you know, a couple of years ago we had a conversation and you've had several family members die from a genetic disorder, and you said, I'm going after that and I'm going to clean that up.
Yep.
And so my thought is that maybe that's what's surfacing, is some of that stuff. And, you know, I think oftentimes what shows up as promptings from carbon-based memory, promptings from the past, are really just fragments of, you know, genetic material from who knows how far back, how many generations. You know, this thought comes or this violent image comes. And I think it's fragments of that sort of stuff. So with that in mind, just to kind of check it out, I do some worksheets around the family genetic disorder and just see if any of that seems to tie in. And otherwise, I do worksheets on, you know, myself, my dream life. You know, what would be my goal for my dreams? Oh, I want them to support me and teach me. Okay, then I cancel my need for my dreams to support me and teach me. You know, I want my dreams to be loving and gentle and respectful. I cancel my need for my dreams to be. And so I do worksheets around every theme that comes to mind in that arena, and see what processes out. And I suspect that your genes are probably just spitting up some old fragments of genetic thoughts that are not coherent, are not connected to anything in particular. They're just there. And
that's what they feel like, so random and
yeah.
Just.
So with this new vitality to be healed, and that's what you've been looking for.
Yes, indeed. Okay. I kind of suspected that, but and I appreciate your suggestions on what to forgive. Because I was kind of at a loss. They're all so random and unrelated it appears. Mm-hmm. So but
cool.
I did suspect
Let's
that
see
as well, just stuff firing up from the unconscious.
Sure. So let's see if Dr. Tim or Jeannie have any thoughts to add to that. Any input
okay.
to support you?
Sure.
Jeannie? Dr. Tim?
Well, as far as book titles, I would strongly recommend The Gentle Art of Blessing.
Because
there are stories in there that relate to people who've been incarcerated and the value of choosing to learn to accept love and tap into their own loving nature over giving in to bitterness and anger.
Oh, and, thank you.
Jeannie, anybody, any thoughts from you or somebody in the chat room?
Well, the only thing from my end is, you know, a lot of times I have some really wild, crazy dreams, so I wonder about the same thing sometimes, too. It's like, you know, where does that come from? So that's a good question. I'm glad you asked it.
Okay. I will get the books ordered, and I'll get the books mailed to you, Michael, and I will continue to forgive the aberrant thoughts as they surface and the visuals as they surface as well.
Cool. Awesome.
Cool, Magoo. Thanks, guys.
Okay,
thanks,
blessings.
Mindy.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And we have two more callers.
Let's say hello.
The first one's area code 901. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Brenda in Memphis. How are you all doing? Can you hear me?
Rock and roll. We got you, Brenda. Welcome.
Okay.
Good to hear your voice, and thanks for your invitation.
Oh, you're very welcome. I have a question. Did you say in one of the sessions that there is somebody translating Why Is This Happening to Me Again into Farsi?
It's done.
Oh, it's done.
It's done. If you
okay.
go to the website, you can download it free.
All right. Well, I don't know Farsi, but I was listening to the BBC Outlook program this morning, and there was a gentleman, his first name is Salomon, and I think if you go on the BBC website, that you can probably listen to the interview. And I have his last name written down at home, but I'm not there. But he has started an NGO in working with victims' families in the process of pardoning and forgiveness. And in that culture, if a family whose family member has been victimized chooses to forgive the perpetrator, then the perpetrator will not be put to death. And so his whole organization has been working on breaking the cycle of violence, because if the families don't get punishment for the perpetrator, then many times they go and do the violence against the perpetrator's family. And he's trying to break this cycle. And I thought, he's doing what, you know, the Y again is doing also, the whole forgiveness cycle. But they did use the word pardon, and but then they did use the word forgiveness. And so he works with the families, and sometimes his organization is interesting because it raises funding and money, because sometimes they have a process of blood money. Sometimes the family will accept blood money. Sometimes they will say, all right, in return for forgiving this person, then you will have to replace the duties that this person does. And so the organization then will do what the family asks, if they need him to go to the grocery store, or they need him to take him to the doctor, or the other request that they can do this, and to enable the family or to move the family towards the way of forgiveness so that the person is not put to death. And I thought that The Why Again in Farsi would be an excellent book to send to the organization. So that was my question. But I think that he could probably use it and find some good insight in parallel with what he's trying to do in breaking the cycle of violence in Iran.
Right. Where is this gentleman located?
Well, he's in Iran, and I would have to listen to the program again. It's on the BBC Lookout this morning was where the program was aired, and I didn't catch the name of the NGO. I would have to go on the website to find out that information. But
well, if it would be possible, we're in the throes of packing and getting ready to head actually in your direction. But if you could get that information, I will, you know, create an attachment out of the book and send it to him along with some notes, and you know, see what kind of support we can be. That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, I talked with that, and I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, if he had these tools, think of it.
Yes.
The other question now, moving, shifting to something else, and the lady that was on a little bit ago, I've asked a question that I had been asking in doing the worksheets, is that I will do a worksheet, and I think, well, I can't think of something to do, even though I had written down. But one of the exercises that I have been doing is going through the word list of emotions and thoughts. And I found it fascinating. I would check off the emotions and the thoughts, or the thoughts I would identify with the emotion listed at the top. And after I completed the entire sheet doing that, I found it very informative that most of the check marks by, or double and triple any of the other emotions, was on the column of apathy. And so I thought, well, I just really don't...
Did you say that again?
Was on the column of apathy. The emotion of apathy, which
apathy.
I believe,
okay, yep,
said is intense rage. It does not appear, you know, like being feeling defeated or just like that. And so I thought, well, this is interesting. Let me see what this information gives me. So I've started doing worksheets, and it's taken me a few worksheets to kind of work out a process. But what I do is I take, and this may not be the most efficient way to do it, but I use apathy as the trigger, and then put the thought in the space where it says, my thought that causes this emotion or this feeling is, and I'll put, like this morning I did the one on defeated, and then I try to remember a time when I felt really defeated about something, and then filled in the top line on the trigger. And it was it's been very, very interesting what has been coming up and what information is coming to me. And I'm in that way able to take the thought and then kind of work backwards to the triggers that I'm no longer remembering on a conscious level, but apparently are there. So anyway, I'm throwing that out for comment.
I think it's very creative, and that's exactly how to go about it. And in any situation, you know, when I'm going, I should do a worksheet here, there's obviously some kind of a disturbance. And if I can't quite put my brain on it, then what I'd do, instead of looking at the disturbance, I'd look at, how do I want to feel? What do I want to happen here? Whatever the situation is, rather than going through a big figuring thing. And, you know, as with the conversation with Mitzi, oh, I want my dreams to be loving and nurturing. I want my dreams to teach me and support me. And as I do that, that'll assist me in dropping into deeper levels of those parts of my mind. But that sounds like an awesome way to go about it. Jeannie does the thing. You want to share backing into a worksheet, Jeannie?
Yeah, it's kind of like if I know that there's a goal that I'm holding for someone and I know what my upset is, I'll fill those in. And then I back into it. Okay, when have I felt that? And so it's at any point during the worksheet, you know, I may be all the way down to the goal. And I go, oh, I had that goal for someone else. I'll start another worksheet and just put the goal in there and then put their name at the top, and then I'll go back to it later. So you can fill in a worksheet at any step, not necessarily starting at step one.
Okay. Dr. Kim?
It kind of ties in as well to the step in the worksheet of, you know, when have I not fulfilled this goal? Is another way to start to key into what those worksheets are about. Any thoughts from you, Dr. Tim?
Well, I think you've both covered it. We've done it many different and all of those ways. Started with the emotions, started with the target, started with the goal, started with the negative thought, and then just start filling in the pieces from whichever nugget I can hold on to that I'm clear about. So just like Jeannie said, we teach people they can start the worksheet process anywhere.
Awesome.
Have allowed me to, when I try early in the morning when I wake up, to do a worksheet. And so now that I'm using that apathy emotion list and just going down the list and putting the next word into the thought line and then working backwards like that. And it's been pretty interesting. Pretty interesting.
Cool.
That's just my comment. And I will try to get that. I will eventually get that information as I can.
Fabulous, and maybe you could send me a link to it if you would. Also, you know, you give me a thought of another tool we could perhaps inspire someone to create. Right now, we're not we've got more on our plate than we can handle, but to create a list. You know, we've got the feeling wheel on the website with a list of feelings, but maybe start to tie in what some of those thoughts might be. You know, under feelings, creating lists of that might help people who are just, you know, it's unconscious, and if they were to look down lists, go, oh, that's it, there it is right there. That fires the brain cells. That'd be a good tool for us to eventually have on the website.
That sheet that I have, I don't know, I haven't looked for it on the website because I had a copy of it, where it lists, you know, apathy, fear. It goes from the left side, which starts with the negative and then ends up with the joy on the right column, and then the thoughts that are attached to each of those emotions. Is that sheet on the website?
It is, and one of the easiest ways for you to find it is when you go to whyagain.org, right below where the bullseye is. There's a button that says quick print, and if you click on that, there's the 7-step worksheet, the feeling wheel, which also, when you print the feeling wheel, it'll print the emotional chart off as well. And then there's the commitments.
Okay.
Yeah, because I had not looked for it on the website since I had copies of it already myself. But that would be because then I can share it with others and get on the website. All right, well, that is my both of my comments for today. Thank you. And y'all take care.
Between apathy and ignorance.
Pardon me?
I don't know, and I don't know, and I don't care.
So what?
The difference between apathy and ignorance. I don't know, and I don't care.
Well, is that what it is? Okay.
All right. Enough of that.
All right. Okay. Take care.
Cool. Thank you for your call. We'll probably see you in a couple days.
Oh, in a couple days. That will be great.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome. All right.
Yeah,
let me know.
Yeah, we just picked up a U-Haul this morning to head to Missouri with, so.
Oh, okay. Kind of let me know the timing because my days are full from about 8 in the morning until about 5 o'clock in the evening.
It'll probably be Sunday evening.
Oh, great.
Probably.
That'll be perfect. Okay.
Yeah,
that would
we'll
be
keep
perfect.
You posted.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome. All right.
Bye-bye.
Blessings.
Okay, we have another
646. Oh, do we? Oh, great. Let's say hello.
Okay, it's area code 541. Is this Julie?
Yes. Hi.
Miss Julie, how are you, young lady?
I'm doing pretty well. And I so appreciated your show the other day where you actually, were doing a worksheet pretty much for yourself with us. And I also appreciate yesterday learning about your grandmother's foot problem, and I'd like to talk to you more about that sometime. My mother went through something similar, so I know that I had to work on not taking that, I had to work on finding a way to correct the thinking that got that thing to happen in her body. So I'm breathing, but the real reason I called quickly now, I have to go somewhere, but I have a book to possibly recommend. I have not read it. I heard the author interviewed today, and Dr. Kim might be interested in it too, and maybe it'll be good for Mitzi. It's called The Well-Tuned Brain, and the subtitle is Neuroscience and the Life Well-Lived. And the author is Peter, initial C, and his name is Whybrow, Whybrow. He's out of UCLA and I think originally from England. So I heard that he's still coming from old school science in many respects, but there were threads of hope that he was hoping to see that there would be a way for people, all these little pockets of people who are breaking out of the old norm of the way of thinking and how our brain works and are moving towards becoming the humans that we could be. And he didn't use the language exactly like you, Michael, but he's aiming at integrating some of this knowledge more rather than just running on automatic and from the unconscious. So I have not explored it, and I tend to be, in my own mind, critiquing and judging anyone I hear talking about this stuff, and if they don't measure up to what Michael Rice teaches, then I don't think they're worthy and valuable. But I've changed how I look at these things now, and I'm allowing that every mind is making the contribution that it can. And for a doctor to feel that it's important to write a book and offer what he can to for the betterment of people's lives, I think sometimes it'll reach a mind way that other ways won't. So all in all, that's my approach now, and perhaps this will be a good book, but I do not know.
Cool, thank you for that input.
He talked about, maintenance, actually, and that we need to really understand how our minds work, our brains work, and to really consciously maintain them in such a way that we make choices based on what we really want rather than how we're automatically reacting. So anyway, that's good. I think it's more light in the world.
Awesome. Very cool. That's what we need, more light in the world.
And I've got to run, but I'm listening. And I'll,
okay, have a blessed one.
I'm going to send you a text, and that'll be it for now. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, blessings. Bye-bye. 646-200-4169 is our calling number. We've got about 9 or 10 minutes left, so we've got time for a conversation or two. Anybody's got a thought for us, we'd love to hear from you. Perhaps a book recommendation, something that's really impacted your life might be useful. Go ahead, Jean.
In the chat room, there were a couple of suggestions on books. One is Jimmy Santiago Baca, which is a book of poetry. And then the other was the book, The Alchemist. And I'm not sure what it's about, but those were two book suggestions out of the chat room. And we do have another caller. Michael, I'm not sure if you're still with us or not. You're silent there, but the next caller
is
area
code 417. Let's hear our next caller.
Area code 417, you're on the air.
Hi there, this is Magda calling from Missouri.
Welcome, young lady. How do you be today?
Fabulous. Really, really good. I know that we're short of time. I just want to share another way. I really love the suggestion that the lady who talked earlier was saying about going through the emotions and the thoughts and getting a worksheet out of that. And I had an interesting experience in the garden the other day getting a worksheet out of watching my own behavior. So I wasn't triggered by anybody else or any situation. And I did get in touch with something that I definitely need more healing on. And what was happening is that I've been picking strawberries for about 3 weeks now, and I was noticing that I was picking strawberries that were not completely ripe because they are, you know, just the sweetest when they are ruby red ripe. And I was picking some that were red but not really that deep red yet. And I realized that I was doing that after a few days and thought, well, that's very strange. Why would I do that instead of just waiting until tomorrow? So initially I thought, well, this is an issue of patience. However, I know that I'm a very patient person, so that didn't fit too well. And then I suddenly realized, now this is an issue of fear. I'm afraid that this strawberry that's almost ripe, but not quite, may not be here tomorrow. One of the little animals around here may get in and take it before I get back here tomorrow to pick it. And so that was, like, profound for me that I have this issue of I need to get it now because it might not be here, so there are a whole lot of things around that. And fear has definitely been a big one of my emotions to work with over the years. So this is just another piece of that. So I just
cool.
want to plug that in.
Sounds good. It might
yeah.
be even a place to plug in some generosity. And, you know, maybe a mind shifter. It's safe and healing for me to be generous with the little creatures around me.
Well, that was another thing, Michael, that was kind of strange, is that I've always said, every time I'm out there picking, well, you know, the birds can have some and the rabbits can have some and it's okay, there's enough for all of us. So this thing is deeper than that. It's definitely my fear of some kind of scarcity thing. I know, it seemed counterintuitive to what I have expressed about sharing with the animals. So I was rather surprised that fear came up, that was the actual feeling that was going on and creating my grabbing things that weren't ready and picking strawberries that weren't ready. So I guess my point is that we can do worksheets over anything, of course. And
yes,
we can find the worksheet
absolutely.
Material everywhere, anywhere. And this one was just by watching my own behavior.
And, you know, that could also be a fragment, as I talked about earlier. We get genetic fragments of thoughts, pieces that are stored in the genes that pop up, and who knows, you know, the famine that happened, you know, 300 years ago in the bloodline, and we have to put everything in our mouths that we can. That kind of a thing, you know, can be resonated in that space, and another piece of the genes cleaned up.
Wow. Yes. I'm definitely having a reaction to you saying that, so I think you might be onto something there. Yes. Wow. Okay.
So one of the things I mentioned a few weeks ago.
Go ahead.
Well, a suggestion would be to go to the website and type in the word ghost in the search bar. And you'll find a link to watch a free video called The Ghost in Your Genes.
And it all
comes out of, I don't know if you've seen that one before, but this might be a perfect time to watch it even if you have.
Yeah.
And it comes out of research that was done in Iceland where they kept very good records. And what they started to see was 2, 3, 4, 5 generations later, where they had records of the years where they had good crops in Iceland and records of when they were frozen out and people were starving, the impact on the fetus and the age of the mother, the stage of gestation, all those things. So just watching that again might just help to open that up if that's an accurate assessment and give you a whole other view of what needs to come up for the next level of healing.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely thank you for plugging that in. I will do that. And what's also coming up for me is my parents having gone through the depression. Somehow that's involved here too. So thank you. Yeah,
definitely.
I'd like to make a book.
Well, what happens is you might do some worksheets around a distorted survival mechanism. And the need to survive might be a place to address just survival, number one, survival, and see what that opens up.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. I'm going to make that note, too. Get my pen back out again. Good. Survival. I like distorted. Very good. Okay. Is there anything else?
All right. I think we're on rock and roll. It's a delight to hear your voice, and we'll see you within just a few days. Where our trailer is hooked up to the van. We're getting ready to unpack the Sprinter into the old Sprinter into the trailer. Then we're going to take the Sprinter over the mountain to have a mechanic look at it, and probably Sunday morning be on the road to Theodosia.
Okay.
Right.
And I would like to make a book recommendation if there's just a moment.
We're down to about 30 seconds, so go for it.
Nonviolent Communication by Rosenberg, Dr. Rosenberg.
Awesome. All right.
That would fit into
that'd probably be
very
perfect.
Well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right. Have a blessed day. I know you do.
All right.
Talk to both.
Okay, everybody, thanks for being with us. I'll bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. And make this the best year yet of your eternal life. We'll see you at 1 tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.